Let's go to Austin. Kyle Cassell joins us. Kyle, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Scott. How are you doing?
Good. Like to get your thoughts. The governor with his basically farewell address to the legislature after 30 years of service to the state.
Wow. Thank you, Rick and Anita Perry. Incredible 30 years. I can't say it any better than he did. Be true to Texas, and she will truly be true to you.
Well, do you have any sense over we're going to see him again out in the public arena?
You know, I'm not a bookie in Vegas, but I'm going to tell you, he's probably going to make a good run for president. How's that?
Well, you know, and certainly a lot of the things were circumstantial. I mean, Texas has some great growth, and, you know, he can certainly take some credit for that. And the Texas model, I think, is certainly a good one. So, again, we'll see. We've certainly had people who've run for president more than once. I know we were talking to John Rainey yesterday. The committee assignments have not been made yet, and so you can't actually get to work when it comes to that. But, you know, one thing I'd like to get your thoughts on is I think Representative Acock has already said, we can't wait for the judge's ruling on public education to really talk about what we're going to do there. What are your thoughts as far as what can be done in advance of the judge's ruling to set up some sort of a course for public education funding?
Well, I agree with Chairman Acock. I was actually, you know, as we talk about what we can and can't do and waiting for the governor and lieutenant governor to be officially sworn in next week, I met with Jimmy Don, I think, on Wednesday. We're very fortunate to have Gary Van Deaver coming in from House District 1, a former superintendent, Marcia Farney, former State Board of Education, and Ken King on public ed out of Canadian. So I've been meeting with those folks. As you know, I represent 31 ISDs, and I agree. It's time for us to take the lead on this, and so I'm pushing for a meeting. I'll probably meet with all those individuals next week and get a sense of where we're going to head with public education and what we can do to help and move this along before, you know, the earliest indication is August on the court ruling, and that's unacceptable.
You know, you are, Kyle Cassell joining us, you are the classic definition of a rural state representative. There's really not any major metropolitan area that you are representing. You're on the outskirts of some, but you basically talk to a lot of farmers and ranchers and people of the earth. What do you see as far as times are changing and the populations are shifting in Texas? What do you see this legislature as being? Are we going to see more urban needs, and what kind of influence are they going to have over what the legislative picture is this year?
I mean, the best way I can answer that, it's going to force us to make sure we have strong rural representation. You know, as most people are looking on the outside, looking at the R versus D, you know, I've said this many times to you, this is rural versus urban, and we've contain and control all the natural resources in this state that all those urban areas need. And, you know, we are blessed. I've got Pancho Nevarez and Drew Springer, Trent Ashby, Travis Clardy. There's some great rural reps, and we do, you know, in fact, I think there's about six of us on our hall, E2 400, that are all rural reps with five counties or more. And, you know, those coalitions are going to be important as the state becomes more urban and the population moves to San Antonio, Houston, and Dallas.
Yeah, and that's it. Again, truth be told, four of the 11 largest cities in America are in Texas, and they are going to ask for more. They're going to ask for more water. They are going to ask for more natural resources. They are going to want to be put closer to the front when it comes to the feeding line, and how can you smaller guys really protect the rural wishes, the rural desires, the rural freedoms with this?
I mean, that is where it comes into being a good representative for your district. It is staying involved in every aspect of the legislature, building relationships. I mean, there is another body. It's called the Senate. Yeah.
You
know, working with those guys. The good news with us rural reps is we usually have two to three senators that we are fortunate enough to work with. So my relationship with Senator Birdwell and Senator Schwartner is paramount in that. And, you know, they have rural areas that they cover. You know, they usually ask me to make sure I'm in the rural, smaller towns so they can concentrate on the big populations. But, you know, that's just a stairwell upstairs to talk to Birdwell and Schwartner, and, you know, we can make sure, you know, our teams are working together every day.
Well, let's look across the Capitol to that other body. Only 31 of them. I would have to I would have to characterize Dan Patrick as more politically active than David Dewhurst. I mean, this guy certainly has an outspoken agenda. What do you see for the future of the Senate in this current session?
You know, we can think about it in numerous ways. I will say this. I am excited about a lot of the people he has hired. He has a bold vision. He has talked in front of the cameras and behind the cameras. You know, I think he's going to do a very good job, but time will tell. So we'll see how these super committees and some of these bold statements he's made, how they affect that body. And like John told you yesterday, we've got the rules through the House. We're ready to go to work on Wednesday. When the Senate sits down to do rules, it's going to be a different story, I think. But I'll be in the Senate gallery watching, and I'll keep you posted as they happen.
All right. And finally today, of course, for the first time in 40 years, an open vote for the Speaker of the House. And Joe Strauss won hands down. Your thoughts on why they had the open vote, and what does that mean?
You know, we can look at it a number of ways. I look at it simply as this. The true gentleman leader that we need to lead the people's House was elected to lead the House of Representatives. Joe's done an incredible job. He's an incredible individual. He does not look at party or urban versus rural. He helps each member take care of their district. And, I mean, that is what each and every 149 representatives need from a speaker, is the ability to take care of their district. And Joe and his team give us that opportunity every day.
District 12 Rep. Kyle Cazell joins us on Fridays. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website. We'll talk to you next Friday, Kyle.
Scott, I look forward to it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. All right, let's turn our attention to college.